In last lecture, I explained the everything dependency of everything. Independency of everything means of course things are interdependent with each other, but at the same time each being is independent because each being includes the other being, the rest of the being. So when each being includes a whole world, then each being is actually independent. But at the same time, you know, each being, you know, looks like when each being understood, you know, in term of big or small, black or white, heavy or light, man or nature. Is this working? Oh, and that is the sound. Can you hear me? No. Oh, I must make. Okay.
Perhaps you could move forward to make two rows.
Would you come nearer to me? Sit one more row between. Okay. Yeah. Please come nearer as much as possible. In Sandokai, you know, actually talking about reality, and the people, you know, forgetting all about this point, involved in some, you know, get into discrimination. Which school of Zen is right or wrong, you know, southern school or northern school. This kind of dispute were all over. So that is why Sekito Zenji, Can you hear me now? No? That is why Sekito Zenji wrote this poem. And here, he discussed from the viewpoint, he is talking about reality from viewpoint of independence. So when we talk about independence, each southern school is independent, northern school is independent. But there is no reason why we should compare two. Northern school represents all Buddhism, and southern school include all the Buddhism. When both school is expressing whole Buddhism in their own way, there's no reason why we should compare. Rinzai school, has their own approach to the reality, and Soto school has our own approach to the reality. When approach is different, there's no reason why we should compare. That is the point, Sekito Zenji is pointing at this point, talking about what is reality. He actually do not talk about northern school, a dispute of northern school or southern school. But actually, talking about what is reality and what is Buddha's teaching in its true sense. He is, pointing up at the mistake, of the two schools at his time. Anyway, those three, I explained already four clauses. And now, tonight, I want to explain six more clauses. Which denote the reality from the viewpoint of independence. Here he says, eyes, manako. Manako wa iro, mimi wa onjo. Manako is eyes to see, ear to hear sound. For eyes, there is color or form. This scheme means color and form. For eyes, there is color. For ears, there is sound and voice. And for nose, there is smell. For tongue, there is taste of salt or sour. This, you know, means it looks like, you know, he's talking about duality or dependency. Dependency of Dharma of eyes and its object. But actually, when, you know, we, even though you see something, you know, if you see things in its true sense, there's nothing to be seen or no one to see, you know, actually. But when you analyze, there's someone who is seeing something and something which is seen by us, by eyes. This is only one activity, activity could be understood in two ways. I see something, but actually, when I see something really, you know, there's no one who is seeing it, and who nothing to be seen, actually. Both is true. And he's talking about oneness of the form and eyes here. That is how, you know, Buddhists observe things. But sometimes we observe, we understand things in its dualistic sense. But we don't forget to dualistic understanding of I see, or someone is seeing by someone. Something is seen by someone. It's some interpretation, something which our thinking mind produce, subjective, subject and object. But subject and object is one. So subject and object is one and two. Well, that is our understanding. One and many, one and two. So, what he wants to say is, for eyes there is form, for ears there is sound and voice. But actually, there is no or two, there is no form or no eyes. When you say eyes include, you know, form. When you say form include eyes. If there is no form, no nothing to see, you know. Eyes is not eyes anymore. Because there's something to see. Eyes become eyes. Same is true with yes and not. Dogen Zenji says, if there is no river, no, there's no ship. Even though there's ship, that is not ship. That will be a house. Because there's a river, a ship becomes ship. Same is true with our eyes. Usually, you know, non-Buddhist, why, you know, they become attached to objective world or something they see is they understand only one way. You know. Here it's something based. Good, you know, or sweet, I have to eat. And we understand something exists here without, you know, us. Whether we try to eat it or not, the cake exists. That is normal way of understanding. But cake is become cake because we want to eat it. So we make cake. There's no cake actually without us. When we understand in that way, we are seeing cake, but we are not seeing cake. that is how we keep our precepts, you know. We kill some animal. Maybe we may kill some animal, or worm, or insects, or earwig. But when we think, you know, I am killing earwig, wigs are here, you know, many. So, this is very harmful one. So I have to kill this one, you know. When you understand in that way, you understand things only dualistic way. So, but, you know, actually, earwig and human being is one, not different. Even it is impossible to kill earwig, even though we think we killed it. You know. Actually, we cannot. It is not possible, even though you smash it. It is still alive. That tentative form of earwig may vanish, but actually, whole world, as long as, you know, whole world, including us, is exist, we cannot kill it. When we come to this understanding, we can keep our precepts completely. But even so, we should not kill, you know, anything without any reason or with some, you know, convenient reason, making some reason why I should kill. Because, you know, here we eat vegetables. So that is why I must kill them. And it is nothing wrong to kill animals. So I'm killing the yam. With some reason, you know, you kill animal, that is not our way. Actually, when you kill animal, you don't feel so good. That should be, you know, that is also included in your understanding. Even though I don't feel good, I have to kill. Even though it is not possible, you know, tentatively, I am killing animals. In this way, whole world, you know, something is going in the big world. So, without sticking to any idea of killing, or not killing, or without, you know, with some reason why we kill or why we don't kill. If you observe our precepts in that way, that is not actual way of observing precepts. How you observe precepts is to have complete understanding of reality. It's how you don't kill. Do you understand? In other words, how you understand, you know, my lecture is how you don't kill. How you practice zazen is how you do not kill animals. In another word, you should not, you know, live in the world of duality only. We should observe our world in two ways. From one is from dualistic, you know, way. The other is from the viewpoint of absolute. So it is not good to kill. It's right. It is not impossible. Even though you think you care, you didn't care. That is another side. So, you know, even though you break your precepts, you are violent your precepts, after doing it, if you feel very sorry, you know, oh, I'm sorry. If you say, I'm very sorry, to the weak, ear weak, you know, then that is Buddhist way. In this way, our practice will go on and on and on. You may think, you know, if there is precepts, we should observe it literally, or else we cannot be Buddhist. or you know, if you feel good when you observe some precepts, that is not Buddhist way, our way. Our way is, you know, sometimes we may kill animals, but to feel sorry, that is our way. To feel sorry is included in our precepts. That is how we observe precepts. And, you know, this kind of activity will go on and on and on. And everyone is, you know, involved in this kind of activity. Everything is doing this kind of thing. But where they do, the feeling they have, maybe, may not be the same. One will be, you know, one has no idea of precepts or attainment. The other has trying to make themselves feel good by some religion or precepts, observing precepts. That is not Buddhist way. Buddhist way is, in one word, jihi. Jihi is to to encourage, you know, to encourage people. When they have good feeling. And to get rid of their suffering. To help to get rid of their suffering. That is Buddhist way. That is true love. It is not just to give something, or to receive something, or to observe precepts, or to attain something. We do not practice our way. We practice our way as things, you know, naturally are going. And to follow our people and to suffer with them and help to relieve their suffering and to encourage people to go on and on and on. That is Buddhist way. That is how we observe precepts. So, you know, we see something, but we do not see something. We feel always oneness of the subjective world and objective world. Oneness of eyes and form and color. The oneness of the taste and mouth. So we do not, you know, especially we don't have to attach to something, especially. We don't have to feel especially good, you know, because of Buddhist practice. When we practice our way in this way, that we are all independent. That is what he is talking about. And しかもいちいちの法において根によって発分布いちいちいい each dhamma. Dhamma means eyes, nose, tongue, ears, or form, or taste, smell, or taste, or sound. It's all those things are dhamma. Each being, each dhamma has its own has a root, which is Buddha nature, which is a world of oneness, you know, which is absolute, which is Buddha nature. So each being comes out from the root, like leaves, you know, comes out from the root or trunk. So when we see many things, we should not, you know, just see things as it is, but we should know how each things exist. Because of the root, we exist. Because of the absolute Buddha nature, we exist. When we exist, understand things in that way, we have oneness. When I am here, you are there. When there's man, there's a woman. You know. But woman is independent, and man is independent. So there's, when something happens, there's always oneness of the subjective world and objective world. So, 本末すべから苦修に苦すべし。本末、本 is root, and 末 is, 末 is end. Root and end. We may say, but both root and end should reduce to, should resume to the original nature. The words we use is different. Good words and bad words. Good words, respectful word and a mean word. But through those words, we should understand the absolute being or source of the teaching. That is what is said here. Are you recording? This is okay. In one of the in Bommokyo, Bommokyo is the the important scripture of precepts. In Bommokyo it says, to see is not to see, and not to see is to see. Do you understand? To see is not to see. And not to see is to see. No, that is how we observe, don't act. In chest, in act, you know. To see a woman, you know, is not to see the woman. To see the woman is not to see the woman. Not to see the woman is to see the woman. Do you understand? To eat fish, you know, or meat. To eat meat is not to eat meat. And not to eat meat is to eat meat. You understand precepts only one way. Not to see. Not to eat meat. It's how you observe precepts. But not to eat, you know, not to eat meat is to eat meat. You are eating meat. There's two monks, you know. Now once traveling together, and there were a big river where there was no bridge to cross. So they were waiting on the one side of the bank. While they were waiting, a beautiful woman came. So they were very much encouraged to cross the river with her. And at last, one of them, you know, decided, one of them carried her on his back and crossed the river. The other monk, after crossing the river and on the way to somewhere, the other monk became furious. You are a monk. You violate precepts. No. Not to see a woman. As a monk, it is not so good. Why did you do that? the monk who helped lady said, "You are still carrying a woman. I forgot about her long, long time ago. You are still carrying. You are still violating the precept." He said. Maybe to, you know, it is not completely right to help her, you know, as a monk, you know. It may be, you know, it may not be perfectly right. even so, you know, as a man, as all human beings are our friends, we should help them, you know. Even we violate Buddhist precepts, we should help her. But if you think about it, you know, uselessly, you know, when there's no need to think about, to think about it, you know, it's actually violating the precept. So to see a woman is not to see the woman. To help her actually is not actually he is not helping her. No. When just because to help her, if you cross her on his back, is actually he is not, you know, helping her. Do you understand? He is not helping her. So not to help her, you know, is to help her in its true sense. When you are involved in dualistic sense of violating precepts, or man and woman, or monk and layman, that is violating the precepts and poor understanding of Buddha's teaching. That is why how we sit, you know. We just sit without any idea of any idea of attainment, without any idea of doing anything. Just to sit is our way. To be involved, completely involved in sitting meditation is our sadhana. Without any idea of attainment, any idea of waste of time or meaningful, you know, practice. Just to sit is our way. And this is how you keep precepts. sometimes we will be angry, and sometimes we will smile. Sometimes we will murder people, your friends. Sometimes you will give a kind word to them. But, you know, actually, what we are doing, just to observe our way. Okay. I cannot explain it so well, but I think you must have understood what I mean. Do you have some question? I have some more time. Maybe so. I felt in that way for a pretty long time. I think so. I agree. You know, it is rather difficult to give you actual feeling, you know, by lecture. You know, that is why, you know, the old masters, you know, twisted their nose or hit it them. Right here, you know. What I am thinking about, that is, in short, that is the point. I am going round and round the point, you know. So, I am using words we say to scratch itchy fingers on the shoes. I'm scratching itchy fingers on your shoes. How about it doesn't help you so much. Maybe. Even so, I have to talk.
like when we kill an earwig or any insect or anything like that, and he said we can't kill it because
you cannot.
As long as everything is here, you can't die. Is that like say that each moment will always be, and each thing will always be that thing?
It is.
This lecture will always be this lecture.
It is so, you know. It is so. When you see things, you know, as it is, it is so.
But even if like the body of the earwig dies, you say that, well, what happens to the earwig's stomach? where does the earwig go?
Earwigs go to the source of that. A reality. There's nowhere to go. So when we talk in this way, what you will feel, but you know, it is something. Just talk, you know. But when you suffer a lot, you know, it will be a great relief to know that. Hi.
Yoshi, what is the difference between you and me?
There's difference and no difference. That will be the answer, you know. That is why, you know, we practice together. Because there is some difference, we practice. And because we are not different, we practice. So, if one side is missing, we cannot practice. If you are quite different from me, there is no reason why you should practice with me. Because we are same. If we are same, if we are to be same, there is no reason for you to practice together. Because we are different, we practice our way, and because we are same, originally same, we practice. So, not different, and different. This kind of thing is something which you do not know, you know. The teacher, Trungpa, was referring to this point. Our traditional practice starts from this, you know, source of the teaching, which is nothing, which is absolute, which is non-duality. But usually, when you practice something, you attracted something, you know, eyes or nose, taste or a form, you know. Not by this, original source of the teaching. The original source of the teaching is not something which can be told. So we say tongueless speech. Tongueless speech. We are talking about something which is impossible to talk. That is teisho, you know, not lecture. We can explain those words, but by those words we are explaining which is empty. So we call the words, the finger pointing at the moon. If you understand what is moon, the finger is not necessary anymore. So what you should understand is not my words, but you know, you should realize by your true experience what I mean. So you are blank, you know. You are blind on this point. So you feel I am talking about something, some words, you know, in some sophisticated way. So it looks like very so-called Buddhistic way. Buddhistic way is not those words, but the thing which we really mean.
When you kill an earwig, there is no words or memories or anything. There is just the experience of killing the earwig. Is that the teacher that leads to the source? That leads you to the experience of the source?
Yeah.
Is the experience of killing the earwig, not to talk about it, the teacher?
Yeah. You know, and at that time, you know, you shouldn't feel like Buddhist or a good monk or sinful monk, you know, or violating your precepts. You should, you know, when you are working on the garden, you know, for some purpose, you should be involved in that activity completely. Sometimes you may be mad at the earwig, you know, but no one can blame you if you, you know. No one can say anything, criticize you. You should have that much confidence, you know. If you are expelled from Tassajara because you killed a lot of earwigs, you should go, okay, I'll go, that's all. You must have, you know, not confidence. It is more than confidence. You know. You don't have to fight with anyone. If you have that much, you know, understanding in what you are doing, that is good. That is our way.
When we say that we don't harm sentient beings, like earwigs or anything else, do we say that because it's impossible to harm them, or because it's wrong to harm them, or both?
Both. Yeah. We should know that is not possible, you know. Why it is not possible not to kill it? Because that is words. It words cannot reach. That area. But only when you caught by words, you know, you say possible or impossible. That is how actually you live, you know, every day, killing something, sacrificing something. You just apply Buddha's teaching to give you some good excuse, that's all. And you feel good, you know, very superficial understanding of Buddhism.
Every animal has a way of living, of eating, of raising its young, of relating to the world that is in keeping with its particular dharma, or the Tao of its being. Does not man have a specific and particular way of living and eating and raising his young and relating to each other that is in keeping with his dharma or his Tao?
Yeah. Not absolutely, but, you know, we have to make best effort to keep, you know, Dhamma. That is, you know, those words. Words is necessary. Even though it is necessary, you shouldn't think this is complete, you know. We should make constant effort to produce new Dhamma, one after another. Produce new Dhamma, new precepts. No. We say, this is human life, you may say, but that human life is for today, not for tomorrow. Tomorrow we must have more improved, better way to live. This kind of effort should be continued. That is why we have bad feeling, you know. If you have some bad feeling, it means something, so we should, you know, improve our way. But you should not expect any perfect Dhamma, you know. In terms of you should do or you shouldn't. So there's no one can insist their own way. But we should appreciate their effort to improve our Dhamma. That is Buddhist way. Does it make some sense?
Can the true Dhamma be passed on if the disciple does not surpass the teacher? You say that we must always, every day, improve our way, make the best effort.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said for the true teaching to be passed on, the disciple must surpass the teacher. Can we carry on the Dharma even if we don't surpass the teacher?
Yes. Yeah. surpass is also dualistic word, so we shouldn't speak to, you know. There's no reason why if you surpass my, you know, me, there's no reason why I don't feel so bad, so good, you know. Actually, that which is better is just words.
To have the same, I mean, to have the same understanding as the teacher, the same understanding, would be something that would be static, fixed. It would be something that would change it. So if we were to have this, your understanding right now, tomorrow, that would be, what would that be?
Impossible.
Not so easy. Even, you know, to create one page of the new Dhamma is very difficult. Even though you feel sometime you invented something new. But Buddha is always waiting. Come here. But you feel you invented something new. But Buddha is here. Oh, you come here, good boy. I have some more things for you. Come nearer to me, Buddha will say. So it is very hard to surpass his teaching. Okay. That is more valuable.